Welcome, everybody, to The Rad Life, the only talk radio show that takes you along with host and age explorer Rod Gontos on his continuing journey of discovery into life's challenges, opportunities, options, and all the latest and greatest things that come with getting older. The Rad Life is brought to you this week by Your Home for a Lifetime, a company dedicated to empowering you to stay safely, independently, and comfortably in your own home. And now here is your host, Rad Gontos.
You know, I think, are we on? Are we not on?
I'm not even going to say anything.
Are we on? Are we not on? What are we?
You got a room full of guests, and everybody's anxiously looking at their watches, and I'm saying, he's coming.
Well, you know, it's really funny, right? I just, as I sat down here in the hot seat, I apologize.
Everybody glaring at you.
And Paul's like, yeah, this is broadcast journalism. You know, I was going to say, you know, I fly by the seat of my pants, but, you know.
Yeah, you almost tore your pants today here.
Yeah, I don't know if I can actually pull that one off today, especially with the guests in the room.
Wow, he
takes the credits for that one literally, I think, Greg, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. We'll introduce your guest in a moment.
I will. Actually, it's a privilege again for us to have you in the studio, Greg. It was really great for you to be here last year, and I invited you back then, and I'm glad you were able to make it. It's always fun to have you here.
And tell everybody who he is.
And our guest today is retired Marine Corps fighter pilot, retired airline pilot with JetBlue, CEO of West Coast Publishing, author, Mayor Pro Tem Mission Viejo.
Military attaché to the White House.
Military attaché to the White House. Recently assigned, actually, by Supervisor Lisa Bartlett to something that I thought was wonderful and perfect fit, veterans representation.
I've been nominated as her nominee for the Veterans Advisory Council for the Orange County Board of Supervisors.
I think Lisa is absolutely spot on with that nomination.
Thank you.
Yeah, I hope that works out because I can't think of anybody else doing it better than you.
You just admitted he's a Marine Corps colonel.
Yes.
This is a man who, if you were 2 seconds late, people died. And he's been here, I mean, exactly on the button when you told him to arrive, and he's looking at me nervously going,
yes, but you see, I had sent in some troops, advanced
yes.
troops.
Right? Yes, you did fine.
So tell everybody else who's sitting in here today.
Because filling in for me, and maybe I should just leave and have them take on the show.
I think he was ready for that.
Yeah.
He wasn't looking forward to talking to you.
He had a smile on his face, and when I walked in, he was kind of disappointed. Tanya Brown,
yes,
who has co-hosted and has been a guest a couple of times.
Hey, Tanya.
Hi. Happy to be back.
Yeah, and
we missed you.
I miss you too.
You know, we're so coordinated. We're all wearing red today for some reason. I don't. There was no emails went out or anything. Yeah, Greg's got some red on him.
It's a heart awareness for women.
Friday.
So women wear red all week.
Wow. See, there's a reason for this.
Yes.
You knew that, Rod.
We knew that.
Yeah, but I didn't think everybody else did.
Oh, wow, that's good.
And it is the month of love, February.
February 2nd.
There you go.
Right.
And let's get your mic up here. And who else is
And then Deborah Pearson's here. Deborah was here last time. Was it last week or the week before?
The week before.
Your show producer and PR person extraordinaire.
She has been amazing in helping schedule guests just like Greg and making sure that we kept the caliber of the show up.
Are you working with Tanya on her book? Did I hear you say that? Are you representing?
I am also Tanya's business manager, booking agent as well.
Wow.
As well as when you were here last time on the show, you were...
I represent Caregivers Direct as Southern California Regional Marketing Director, as well as sit on the board for the National Aging in Place Council.
You guys got against sleep? You're all doing 52 things.
If you look up the word multitasking in the
room here today.
And you know what's really exciting is that the show really focuses in on aging and life needs to continue even after we hit 50 and over. So I actually just picked up another job or a full-time job with VITAS Healthcare, so I'm so excited.
Wow.
Yeah, wow. We brought VITAS in when Daddy needed some help, and actually when we needed some help,
right.
And they were so instrumental. And I just saw the caregiver that helped us yesterday at the office. It was really special.
Because you talked about it. Didn't your father go through dementia or Alzheimer's? Yes, right.
Yeah, for 7 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, so I'll just start off with this question, and I think we already know the answer to it. As you get older, do we get less busy?
Oh, no. You're supposed to. Wow, but nobody in the room here.
Are you kidding me?
Exactly. No.
I am so busy.
Well, look at the room here. You know, so
that's why you look so young.
So well, Greg was, you were in charge of, weren't you in charge of the air wing here at El Toro?
Actually, it was down in Miramar.
Miramar. Okay.
It was an air group of.
So you ran that, and then you went to the White House, and you're an attaché? Is that the
official? I was worked in the military office at the White House as the deputy chief of staff at the White House military office.
So okay, under President Clinton.
When I was lieutenant colonel, I got assigned there by the Pentagon, so it was pretty cool.
And that's how you became best friends with the Clinton, and now your picture is with him.
I know.
Which can I just say, since it came up, wasn't going to go there, right? But let me just say, all right? There's just too much divisiveness. There's too much just picking the sort of like just throwing, slinging mud. Okay? I mean, how much more respect do you want to give somebody who is active military, who basically gets assigned?
He gets assigned to the White House.
To serve
the
commander in chief in a capacity. Assigned, okay? Right. Didn't just wake up one morning and say,
that
hey!
Interview, too. Eight of us interviewed for that job.
Right. And so to hold that against somebody as somehow because of it's the wrong side of the aisle, I mean, that just flies in the face of everything that says respect, military, infrastructure, country of laws.
But for those who missed the last episode.
I mean, how much more?
An honorable man.
But for those who missed the last episode, what happened is, I recall the story, Greg retires from the military and he gets into business. He's an airline pilot for a while and does some other business. He gets the bug that says, I want to go run for Congress. What? And he literally Googles how to run for Congress.
Right.
And then he decides he's going to run for Congress. And by God, he's doing pretty good. Out of nowhere, this guy nobody's ever heard of here is suddenly running for Congress.
After being told, wait, hold on, you got to kind of kiss the ring.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Wait 20 years.
Start at dog catcher, and by the time you're 120, you can run for Congress.
Right? Yeah, but you'll be seasoned.
Yeah. And so, unfortunately, a well-known political operative gets hired, and they find a picture in his book of he and the Clintons taken in one of those lines where there's 1,000 people getting their picture taken here. It's a cute picture of the Clintons and him. It proves that, hey, I was there. And they use this as part of an attack ad that's somehow he's not, you know.
They call me a Bill Clinton Republican.
I know. You're a Bill Clinton Republican.
Yeah, and scandals. We don't need more scandals like Monica Lewinsky.
Yeah, right.
Anyway, he said that because of me, we never got Osama bin Laden when the president was in office.
It's all your fault.
I had nothing to do with that.
This is like the default setting for any blame that they can throw, right?
Well, we were told, stand by, something's going to hit pretty soon because we were leading into polls with about 6 weeks out, and then it hit, and we lost the election by 3,000 votes.
But you came back, and now you ran for another office, and you're the mayor of Mission Viejo.
Right. I was the mayor pro tem. I'm a council. We rotate every year.
That's right.
And I was mayor pro tem in 2015, and I'm a council member this year, and hopefully next year I'll be mayor.
So it didn't burn you out of the experience. Awesome. You could have just gone home and said, I'm not going to play this game anymore. This is awful.
I thought about it.
But even down there, I'm in South County, too, and even down there, they haven't let go either. They're still after you.
They're after me. It's brutal.
Right. It's like you're not conservative enough, you said you were conservative, but then you turned out not to be as conservative as we wanted you to be.
You got these gadflies that just show up at every council meeting and just rip into you. I'm purity. Like, all I want to do is serve my community. Would you just leave me alone?
Thank you. Exactly.
You know, I get paid $1,000 a month.
Wow.
You know?
Thank you. Much, yeah.
And, oh, my God, it's brutal, but... I'm a Marine. I love a good fight.
Well, no good deed goes unpunished either. Right.
I remember I had a bar once in Mission Viejo, Kelly McHugh's, and so I had some involvement in politics down there just because we were forced to. And I was amazed. Mission Viejo seemed to be one of those very – there's two or three of them in the county here. Mission Viejo was one of them at the time. Very ugly politics, very divisive council, everybody really out to get each other. And like when the city built a huge – I shouldn't say the word huge. They built a very nice new city hall and everything, because the other one, they were working out of trailers and stuff.
Yeah.
Literally, they were working out of trailers. And so they said, it's a nice city, let's build this and let's plan for the future. And instead, they just got crucified for
building that facility. Let me guess. contracts maybe not on the up and up, money maybe overspent, excessive.
I don't think it was any of that. I think it was just the fact that they built a big city hall, and that seemed to be big spending. And so the government is somehow supposed to do this on the street corner with a shoebox.
And it's interesting. I mean, let's just lay the groundwork for the show. I mean, Greg's here, and there's a whole bunch of stuff we're going to talk about, but it's just going to go wherever it's going to go. As
it always does,
right? But the thing that I really want to not lose focus of, because we have a very dynamic group of people in this room, and it is going to just fly, right, is whatever happened to actually having the respect for people that stand up and say, I would put myself in that position and be of service to others. Whatever happened to where that became all of a sudden something that made it open season, okay? I mean, it doesn't matter whether you're serving as a clerk in a city or you basically beat yourself, heaven forbid, in front of the firing squad literally to run for city council, because, I mean, pretty much the dirty politics that you're talking about, in my experience, is not limited to one city at all. It's a very funny dynamic, because would you rather have a community that's very engaged and involved and maybe vocal in ugly ways on occasion, or do you want one that is not engaged, where basically nobody shows up at city council for
meetings? Well, I think that's
unless they have a gripe, basically.
I think that's part of the problem with politics in general. The good people stay home. At least that's the perception.
Yes.
Why do I want to go through this nonsense?
Well, because we've scared them.
I come from I like to call it a fraternity of the Marines for 30 years. You know, these guys had your back.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, if you ever get shot down, if you ever get hurt in combat, they never leave you behind.
Yeah.
Even if they didn't all get along with you. But when you're in trouble, they're there.
Family.
They're there. And when I took that oath of office, you know, I will do what it takes to protect this country. And if someone gets shot down or whatever, or someone gets hurt in combat, you never leave anybody behind.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so when I left the service after 30 years, and I just miss the camaraderie of the guys. Mm-hmm. You know, like the movie Top Gun at the Officers Club, you're just sitting there just laughing and joking. And we're just a certain breed of people, especially as a fighter pilot, because, mm-hmm. you know, we'll talk about my book, how I almost lost my life 8 times in a jet fighter. But it's, and then you get into politics, and all I wanted to do was serve. Mm-hmm. You know, like I served when I was in Boy Scouts, I was an Eagle Scout. I served in high school as a class president, and I just wanted to serve. And I said, I want to run for Congress, and everyone's looking at me like, you just can't run for Congress. Mm-hmm. I go, I'm 62 years old. What am I supposed to start out?
What other qualifications do I need?
Yeah. Well, they said you haven't paid your dues. I go,
what?
So 30
what?
Years
yeah,
as yeah. a Marine officer, yeah. three,
wow.
three combat tours, yeah. and that's not dues?
Jeez. Yeah.
500 carrier landings? Is that not dues? They go, no, you need to start a city council. I said, okay, I'll start a city council.
Yeah. Well, oh, my gosh.
It's very common. I got that trying to basically just be on the planning commission. And I was told I had to basically, you know, like run and not be picked for like 4 or 5 times before somehow I am now blessed for having sacrificed myself 4 times at the altar of God knows what bureaucrat, you know.
Right. So I went to the Orange County powers to be, said, hey, I want to run for Congress.
Yeah.
And they said, no, this is her position or this guy's position. Why don't you just start over here? I said, well, I'm not going to get anything from you guys. So I just did it on my own. We just started. And
you did pretty good.
Awesome.
You came
in
second,
like 20,
I think.
Came in third. We got 24,000 votes. I mean, that's
amazing.
Size of, you know.
So, but you would think, and this was not.
And no one knew me.
When was that, Greg?
2014.
Okay.
That's
all right. All right. So you would think that now that, I mean, with the election cycle being, you know, national election coming up in 2016, we would have learned that this incumbent, you know,
we say we don't want that.
Bureaucratic, either side of the aisle, sort of infrastructure of big government, big party kind of thing. That you when you do that, you lose people who want to serve.
Right.
You lose the big tent approach of basically reaching across things that unify people versus divide people.
Right.
And at the end, you end up with a smaller and smaller, continuing to shrink demographic that is going to basically come out for your very severe position on things, and you're going to lose all these other people. And it's happening in South County.
Orange County's, I hear, the worst. You know, if I was running in Wyoming, it would be a little probably
the largest political group, the largest registered group of people is no longer Republicans in this once Republican county.
Now it's independent.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Largest group is independent because people say a pox on both houses. I'm the heck with both of you here.
I heard somebody, and I can't remember, it may have been in Iowa, and it may have been may have been Cruz. But one of the things that I couldn't believe in my ears was that actually the Republican candidate was actually saying, hey, you independents, hey, did you hear this? Like, hey, you, you know, Reagan Democrats, you know, or hey, you, they're trying to draw people. He was actually basically out there recruiting for the Republican Party from outside the Republican Party. I couldn't believe myself. But, I mean, it's, you got to do that because in South County, in Orange County, you're right, Paul, it's not the Democratic Party that has grown. It's the Republican Party that has shrunk because of the people going to independent. And the minute you make that move, what is the likely that you're going to come back and basically
and both sides have the created, the, you've got these really hardcore, whatever you want to call
bases.
True believers, the base.
Yeah.
And the base is all about purity. And the public is more about getting stuff done.
Well, my whole strategy, I went to the people. I would go to HOA meetings, homeowners associations, and
the, it's all local.
I want to represent you guys.
Yeah.
You know, I'm your guy, and I got a lot of traction, but it takes a lot of money and
the infrastructure.
My opponent, Mimi Walters, in the congressional race, had over $1 million, and she's just
for congressional.
Yeah, and she started hammering me right at the end. But I just wanted to represent this. The people.
You want to be of service.
Yeah, I don't want to go to these $10,000 a plate fundraisers this stuff. You
shouldn't
know.
Have to be
good
that
for
way.
You.
But,
have to.
Yeah, and I go to the apartment complexes where these people have never even seen a politician.
Yeah.
You know, and they don't even hardly vote.
Yeah.
And so that was kind of my strategy. We did really well. And then since I lost in the primary, in the 2014 primary, then I ran for city council in Mission Viejo. And I had very good name ID by then. Then we actually two incumbents got thrown out. We won. We got the most votes. So
well, I'm kind of a neighbor down there, and everybody that I talk to that isn't going to give me the very filtered and biased take, as you have a very good reputation down there. Across,
well, we're getting a lot done in our city. Yeah. I mean, we passed a 2-year balanced budget with a surplus.
Congratulations.
Yep.
Yeah.
We passed an $8 million renovation of our aquatic center where the Natadors train. Mm-hmm. It's just amazing dive platform we're going to have.
Huge.
And
it's beautiful.
Yeah.
World class.
Yeah.
Lots of Olympic athletes have come out of that facility.
Yep. Yeah. Greg Louganis, Brian Goodell, some of the big names came out of there.
Absolutely.
So Mission Viejo, you know, is known for the Natadors, and we passed 4-1 to get that, and not one tax dollar. We got the Natadors to come up with $1.5 million that they're going to come up with, and then we got the rest through the developers. If they develop a community, they got to give so much to the city for parks and stuff, so we use that money.
By the way, are you guys in contact with Greg Louganis?
Absolutely, yeah. Okay. Actually, when we were trying to get this thing passed through city council, he came and did a video for us.
Okay, great.
And we got 4 out of the 5 council members to vote for
That's him. Awesome. Yeah, he just is somebody I know and I'm connected with. But he's also kind of having a little bit of a renaissance of his reputation and career too, which I couldn't be happier for him.
Yeah, no, he's an amazing athlete, and Brian Goodell, who's a gold medalist.
Yeah,
and they come out all the time and help promote.
Oh, that's awesome.
Nice.
That's very good to know.
So the city's doing great. We got a new hotel going up, and you know, I'm having a good time. I really like the council. You know, yeah, I said mentioned earlier about the gadflies that show up, but I guess that's part of it. But people say just ignore them, but I kind of go after them.
But it's got to be frustrating after all the years of the military.
It does.
Where you tackle a problem and you break it down, you say,
solution minded.
Yeah, we're going to, what do we got to do to get this
honor
fixed?
Among men.
And all of a sudden, it's not about that. It may not even be the right solution, but it's what can we get past and how do we, it's all of that. And that's the way the system was set up.
The system is so slow, though. I'm a Marine who, Sergeant, get over here, get this done now. And now you got to do community outreach, and then you
public hearings,
get a consultant, and you got
knock on doors, red team.
And we're looking to redevelop the whole city core near Marguerite and La Paz.
Yeah.
And we're going to redo that whole center.
Oh, yeah, especially that one center was really kind of run down.
You got big lots, and you got all this, so we're going to make it into like a mini spectrum, you know.
Oh, nice.
And maybe a little... a boutique hotel on one of the corners and everything.
Don't take away my Steinmart.
But Mr.
That's what my wife said.
Shop.
We got to keep.
Yeah,
we got to keep the Steinmart and the Trader Joe's.
Absolutely,
but
don't.
We're talking
them.
To all the owners. They're all on board. We hired a consultant who's doing some work for us, and now we're just hiring a project manager for that.
So let me ask you a question, because I think it's something that everybody not just in South County, but any place that's been almost built out or pretty much built out is facing these days is, you know, it used to be open fields of strawberries and lettuce and what have you, and orange groves and whatever, and we're pretty much in certain places built out. So how do you, looking forward, how do you balance that sort of quality of life factor and the economic engines needed and differentiate one community from the other in that area?
And how do you rebuild what has already been built? That's hard. It's easy to build when there's when it's nothing
there. Yeah, infill projects and things of that nature.
Well, we are pretty much built out in Mission Viejo. There's not much more to go. But what we're trying to do is renovate the city center because we want to keep the home values up. You know, because obviously, you know, if the city center starts deteriorating and then people start leaving,
right?
And so we want to renovate it, kind of like they did El Toro Road. That's all. It was really going downhill. Now it's kind of the place to go. But there's some old apartments complexes that, you know, I would like to see maybe some condominiums go in there where the people coming into the job force can't afford a $800,000 home. That's
that's
average. But they can
problem here.
They
today.
Can afford a $400,000 condominium or something like that. So we just had a big apartment complex built on Oslo Parkway by the by the
nice job.
It's beautiful.
Yeah, the country club and I mean.
And that was kind of infill. It didn't seem like
it turned out really well, but it really hurt the two incumbents that got voted out because during the election, there was this construction going on, and people was like, oh, my, we're going to have all this traffic, but it actually turned out pretty well.
Well, and I had I had kind of a reason to ask, Greg, because I find that there's a lot of people that are born and raised in those parts, in those cities down there, that because of the price, which is high on the housing, which is great, real estate is wonderful. When we risk losing them, in because they can't afford. Okay, they're living at mom and dad's. They get, you know, maybe they'll go to Saddleback. Whatever. They're done with college. Now they're going to kind of try to get on their own feet.
Our own kids can't stay in the county.
Yeah, they can't stay in the county and give back to those communities in which they were born and raised. I've been kind of more and more. I think about it. I think there needs to be sort of a strategic initiative that actually consciously goes after providing what you're talking about. A little bit more affordable. I mean, you know, heaven forbid somebody should say affordable housing in South County because then, you know.
It's not a barrio.
We're talking right. about barrio living, yeah. right?
But you're right. Actually, the population is gone down in some of these cities because as you have a family of five and as the three kids move out of the house, they can't live there. So now you got a household of two. So I would like to see some type of affordable housing as far as condominiums where they can afford a $400,000.
Well, and sort of like entrepreneurship incubation, you know, get some of these people that have, you know, maybe something to contribute, maybe innovative as far as youth. You know, we have a lot of sports where a lot of open doors down in San Clemente. It's a lot of surfing and aquatic stuff. But when you can't have, when those people can't afford to live there and they end up having to move further and further north, we lose them in the community, and that is the future engine of those communities.
Well, and we lose them going to like Riverside County and things like that.
The Orange County Business Council has been here numerous times, and they have that sustainability or housing report. I forget exactly what they call it. And they looked at the number of homes that we have to create in Orange County just to sustain what we've got, and it's we're like 60,000 short. I don't know at what point this is calculated. But
it's always a dog chasing the tail. And then you got to widen the freeways. You got to get mobility going, and then there's a big group that's trying to stop the 241 from being finished,
connected
down to the five. So I sat on the TCA, and that was just a battle, you know, due to some little bug or something that's that's going to go extinct.
So why can't they run that through Pendleton, though, Greg?
They have been talking with the Marines to run it down through
I think
there.
That would solve
it is
that
good.
Issue.
I'll speak for the opposition. I was one of the group that supported a part of that. And I'll tell you what I think pissed off a lot of people is that and I don't know exactly the history of this, but there was land set aside
and
there is mitigation.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's officially a state park or a county park or whatever it is, but it was
San Mateo.
It was set aside and said, we're going to preserve this land as part of a mitigation deal to allow them to build somewhere else. And then all of a sudden, they want to take it away. And you feel like the American Indians. We're going to give you the reservation, and then we're going to take it back. And that's what pissed people off. And I think
it's going to take a crisis like a major earthquake, and five is cut in half, and there's no way to get south.
But there are other alternatives. They could go through some housing. They didn't want to do that, or they could find other. There were multiple routes, and everybody said this is the only route we can do.
Well, the decommissioning of San Onofre. I mean, there's a little bit of opportunity. I mean, I'll speak to that, too. I was on that opposition side only because it impacted San Mateo. It impacted trestles. You know, there was genuine environmental impact.
That
was just being,
stuff,
we were just being told, just forget about it. It'll be fine. I think the solution really lies in just rerouting it if it's possible.
Well, TCA is working on that.
Yeah.
And I think the next leg is getting really close to approval. It's going to go from Oso Parkway down to
Cow
Camp Road.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And that's about 6 more miles, and then they're going to work on the next.
But get it all the way down.
Yeah, but sooner or later, you need to try to get something
to
get through San Juan, San Clemente, Mission Viejo, because it's such deadlock right there. And it's no fun going to San Diego anymore.
No question about it.
It just takes too long to get down.
Tell me about it. I live off Australia.
It's the same thing that happened with the airport, though. And back then, if you remember, there was the airport. They were going to take the El Toro Marine Base and return it to an airport. Okay, that on surface doesn't sound like a terrible idea, except that they had sold all the land around it as housing. Mm-hmm. And they waited until the last minute. This is the way I felt, and I think a lot of people felt. Maybe it wasn't that evil intent. But they sold off all the land, kind of knowing this was going to be an airport someday, but they didn't really tell anybody. It might be developed. And then all of a sudden, you've got people living under a flight path, and people felt suckered. Mm-hmm. They felt like, well, you sold me this house. No, you knew what was going to happen, but you didn't tell me this. And I think too often, whether it's the powers that be or the planning commissions or whatever, they should just either look at a long-term plan or they should disclose all this stuff to people. You can't create a park and then take it away. You can't sell housing and then say, oh, by the way, we're going to put an airport next year.
Well, I know Irvine's really building, but it's going to add some traffic. So we got to figure out how we're going to get this mobility going.
And the real question we've talked about in some of these other shows, and I don't know if we want to get political and stuff, is that Orange County seems to faced with this loss of millennials, which we have one of the few counties where we're losing the kids because they can't afford to live here, and the still pressure. We're still growing. We're still adding jobs. People still want to come here from other parts of the country. There's still an impulse to move here. It's driving the prices sky high here. What's going to apparently happen is we're going to go up. We're going to turn into more of a Manhattan style. We're going to be more of, are we really ready for that? Is anybody talking about that? Is that what we really want to see happen in the county? Most people say no, and yet, well, what's the choice? Mm-hmm. They're going to start building up. They're going to have to.
Well,
and
what does that do to density and house cars?
Some people say, well, you know, if you can't afford to live here, then you shouldn't be here. Okay, that's kind of in my mind very short-sighted,
right? Mm-hmm.
Because you've got what is left is a population that's older.
Oh, yeah,
it's a population that may be well, established as financial resources today, but they're going to put more demands on the community as far as medical, as far as support services, as far as alternative forms of transportation.
We're going to be one big leisure world where they're going to pay lower taxes and demand higher services.
Pretty much. And who usually traditionally picks up the slack on that? Young taxpayers, young people that are basically giving into those coffers. So it is very short-sighted, I think, to not only on the fact that if you're proud, born and raised a certain place, I think you should be able to give an opportunity and incentives to actually contribute and give back to that community if you choose to,
right?
Including being able to afford to live there. But without that being a strategic situation, it's very short-sighted.
So where is the strategy in government? We don't seem to have that long-term view.
Is there one, Greg?
I know Lisa Bartlett with the Board of Supervisors really high up on mobility and keeping the traffic moving and keeping the youth here in our county. And I know the Board of Supervisors are really working hard. So where do you live, Tanya?
I live in Monarch Bay in Laguna, in Dana Point.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So I'm a coastal girl.
All right. That's hard to get out of sometimes.
It is. It's getting so congested. In fact, I had a conversation with somebody the other day that it used to take me 10 minutes to get to the freeway. Mm-hmm. And now it takes me like 20, 25 minutes. Mm-hmm. And I remember when we first moved here, when I was 4, there was one light on Crown Valley Parkway in Niagara.
Right. I remember. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. No housing, no nothing. But our only alternative really is to go up.
Yeah.
And we're, you know, it's not like we, you know.
You take Golden Lantern or you take the other route?
I just go up Crown Valley Parkway. It's a straight shot. But, you know, we talk about how the prices are moving people out. And, you know, my family's kind of like that, too. You know, we've been there for 44 years.
I couldn't afford to buy in at the prices they're at now. I couldn't afford my own house again. We're going to buy it today rather than 15 years ago.
Yeah, and Monarch Bay's on leased land, and they want astronomical prices for it. So it's, we're considering changes.
I just would like to see more clear strategic leadership.
Yeah.
To speaking to stuff like that. It's a little bit longer planning and not just doing what, you know, how quickly can we build something and put it up and somehow get some property tax out of it. It needs to be a little bit more sophisticated in my mind. From a sustainability.
I think that a lot of that's going on that you probably don't know about.
Probably.
A lot of the meetings I go to, and I know Todd Spitzer from the Orange County Board of Supervisors, and I listen in to OCBC, Orange County Business Council, and all. Mm-hmm. So there's a coordinated effort.
Good.
So, but I got here in 78. I got based at El Toro. I got an apartment on Newport Beach.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm flying jets.
I'm living
the good life.
Yeah,
surfing in the morning.
Yeah, I had two roommates. Man,
we're living
the dream. Man.
So you were the guy flying by my house.
I was there rocking my
where the windows would shake when I was a little girl,
kicking a little afterburner. And so, can we talk about flying a little bit?
Yeah, I was going to ask you.
Let's take a commercial quick.
Okay.
Let's take a commercial. We'll come back and we'll shift the tone into all that and talk about flying in this book and all the books coming out and all that and more. Stick around. We'll be right back.
All right.
Imagine what it would feel like to lose everything. Your job, your home, your family, your dignity. This has happened to thousands of the men, women, veterans, and young adults we serve at Working Wardrobes. What do we do to help? We provide career development services, life skills workshops, job skills training. We provide the perfect interview outfit, and we get clients placed in jobs. Call Working Wardrobes, 714-210-2460. Donate, volunteer, invest, hire.
If you are like the majority of Americans, you want to continue living in a familiar environment throughout your maturing years. In fact, according to many surveys, 82% of homeowners overwhelmingly prefer to age in place, which means living in their current homes safely, independently, and comfortably, regardless of age or ability level. With over 30 years of combined experience in residential, commercial, hospitality, and destination resorts fields, Your Home for a Lifetime is a company dedicated to empowering you to maintain your quality of life and independence by helping you make your house your home for a lifetime. Do you want to reorganize or remodel your home? Do you want to add a full bathroom and possibly a bedroom on the main floor? Are you looking to make your kitchen more functional? Is an aging parent moving in, or your child is moving out, or even moving back in? Call Your Home for a Lifetime at 949-492-1872 or check them out on the web at yourhomeforalifetime.com and find out how they can help you make your house your home for a lifetime.
Home for a lifetime. We just want to keep our kids in the county here.
Yeah, just, you know, lock the doors, seal the windows.
So now let's switch gears. We've got some amazing stories. That's part of what this show is about. Life does continue after 50. You continue to grow. You continue to work hard, and you continue to get doors opened up. Yeah. Greg Rath is the poster child for opportunities. After he goes through this whole military career, gets into politics, does all sorts of other crazy things here, and writes a book. And the book, we can't say who, but the book is being seriously looked at to be made into a movie?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. A real movie. My book is Nine Lives of a Fighter Pilot, how I came close 8 times near death in flying jet fighters and in my lifetime. And I'm currently in my 9th life. So
so you can't screw up anymore.
So I'm going to go into politics.
Glutton for punishment.
A
few months back, a buddy of mine, not a buddy, but I just met him through an acquaintance, is a screenwriter, and he reads screenplays for the different studios, and he goes, God, he goes, your book would make a great movie. I said, well, can you write it into a screenplay? So his name is Michael Ashley, and he's written several screenplays, and he's given it to some of his friends. He goes, oh, my God, this is an amazing movie. And so I had to hire an agent and an attorney to make sure no one steals it. And we had to get it copyrighted and everything. So a couple of the studios have it right now looking at it. So
he says it so casually. A couple of the studios have it. Yeah, they're looking at it. Well, this is like for real. Come on.
It's not final yet, but it's pretty close. And I met with a guy the other day at the Pacific Club here in Newport Beach, and he knows the studio. He goes, give it to me. And I had lunch with him, and he, within about 2 hours, he texts me. He goes, I started reading it. He goes, I couldn't put it down, and I read the whole thing. He goes,
awesome.
This thing's amazing.
Me too. It's amazing.
And there's a love story in it, you know. There's friction with my brother and I growing up, and my father was a World War II pilot. My son's a pilot, a fighter pilot. And so we got these generations, and it's pretty cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
now, just realize, in this room, Tanya's father was a bomber pilot for B-17. My father was a bomber pilot for B-17s, and your father was
A-20s, attack pilot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow. So three people there in
we
this
come
room.
Come from a family of good fighters, not bad fighters, but good fighters.
The good love the Browns.
Yeah. It's awesome.
So
thank you.
Do you think this, well, you never know with that crazy world what can happen, but think how exciting that would be.
That's phenomenal.
At this point in your life, to take your story and to get it up on the silver screen, turned into a movie, and suddenly you got, well, it'd have to be Brad Pitt playing you or somebody like that.
Or
Tom Cruise.
Bradley Cooper.
Bradley Cooper. Oh, that's it. I'm sorry.
Yes.
Yeah. Bradley, if you're listening, pick up a copy. We're going to send you a copy, Brad.
I'm all over that one.
He goes right to the top. Bradley
and then Monday night, I'm going to Hollywood for a big red carpet for actors over 50. And Michael Douglas will be there and Jane Seymour.
Oh, how cool.
Just disclosed their age.
Oh, they know.
I think people know.
Yeah.
But I'll be sitting at the table with Michael Douglas, so I'm really really psyched.
Well, would you tell them about OC Talk Radio? Have them tune in once in a while?
I will.
Yeah, do that plug in here. Maybe you could come down to do one of our shows here.
I got to get a limo. You're going to.
Yeah, well, we'll spring for the limo push that. We'll get OC Talk Radio. But that's a good point. You look at Hollywood, that's an industry that has struggled employing people over 50. Screenwriters are over 50. There was a lawsuit a couple years ago. Very famous group came together and said, we can't get work anymore because we're over 50.
Yeah.
Actors, women in particular, struggle to get roles over 50. Producers, writers, directors, you can go right down the cast members, the crews and everything. Really hard to stay employed in that industry over 50.
And yet the Valley, I mean, I saw something today. I don't know if you ladies have seen it. Maybe you guys haven't. But who in the room has seen the new Dolce & Gabbana perfume ad with Sophia Loren in it?
Mm-hmm. I worship her.
She's my favorite.
At 81 years old.
Yeah. Is she 81?
81
she's
years old.
Still sexy. Defining class and sexiness.
Sexiest woman alive.
I think
sexiest
so,
sexiest woman alive, okay, hands down.
Christy Brinkley just turned 61.
Okay, we don't like these women. I need their secrets.
Okay, they inspire me. I love them.
Yeah,
Sophia
Loren is a mother renovating a villa in Sicily, and somebody hands her a rose, and it's the fragrant for the next called Dolce & Gabbana. I mean,
beautiful.
But think about that. Who's the market for Dolce & Gabbana, right?
I mean,
it's young, right?
Yeah.
And yet you have
elegant,
iconic actress.
Well, Greg's doing some underwear ads. I don't know if you heard that.
I saw you on the side of a bus.
Don't say that.
Why hasn't he done?
My political appointment
just went down the drain.
Well, if you get the movie deal, you're going to get accused of basically rubbing elbows with the liberal.
Hollywood.
Anyway,
welcome to Hollywood.
I'll be a Hollywood Republican.
They'll all want free tickets to the movies, but you'll still be accused.
I'll be a Hollywood Republican.
He's used to it in politics, I'm sure.
But no,
don't bring Hollywood home.
The best part of the movie, I grew up in the 60s, you know, so we have all the music from the 60s, so we're going to get all the baby booters. I went to the Doors concert when I was 15, and it's
your buddies are all saying, yeah, this is right. And you're like saying, I want to be a fighter pilot. They're like, get out of here.
Right, they got long hair and the hippie beads and smoking marijuana, and I got the short hair.
I'm going to be a fighter pilot.
What's your problem, Rat?
Get with the program.
I'm a fighter pilot.
He's the character from Hair that left off, and then you never know what happened to him.
Forrest Gump.
Forrest Gump.
Life is like a box of chocolates.
But you know, this isn't his first rodeo with movies. You told us when you were here once before, one of the other shows, that you when you were at whatever air wing you were in charge of or worked at.
Yes. Independence Day was filmed at El Toro Air Base.
Yes.
Some of it.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. And Will Smith was my squadron. I was the Black Knights, VMFA 314. And Black Knight 1 was me because I was a squadron commander. So Will Smith played my role.
They got Will Smith to play you. How perfect casting there?
Yeah.
Yes.
Very
good casting. But, they couldn't get Cooper.
Yeah. I just got that.
But several of my pilots in the movie got roles in the movie.
That's what you said, yeah.
And they still get residual checks to this day.
That's cool.
Wow, Greg, yeah. You never cease to amaze me.
$300-$400 come in. One guy had to join the SAG, Screen Actors Guild, because he had a talking part. He said two words, and then they cut that out of the movie.
Yeah, but that's but hard to get a SAG card.
They made him a member.
They made him a member.
There you go.
Hard to get a SAG card.
The movie's, the book's great. Everything, oh, by the way, goes to charity from my book. And
thank you for mentioning it.
Yes, it goes to Patriots and Paws. I'm the on the board of directors. I'm the chairman, and we match service dogs with veterans with illnesses, either mental or physical
illnesses. Did you come up with that idea, or did you just come on board with that?
This lady named Penny Lambright, who I met, she started it. She's the founder, and she brought me on because of my experience with the veterans. And we have a 7,000-square-foot warehouse in the city of Orange full of furniture.
Nice.
Beds, refrigerators, stoves.
Oh.
And any veteran can walk in and say, I want this.
Oh, that's cool.
And we have a truck. We put it in a truck, and we drive it. And
simple. I mean, that's the kind of stuff that we love to hear. Government programs don't have to be complicated.
No, they don't.
Charities don't have to have 20 layers to them. Just come in, stock it, and come in.
We get the furniture from people who obviously buy new furniture, and we make sure it's not just crap. But we have a big warehouse for beds, you name it.
Now, weren't you doing something with this group?
Yeah,
maybe?
We're excited to be attending Caregivers Direct, and I've invited my friend with VITAS to go to the Open Heart and House on February 25th. And we're excited because there's a huge demand for military families needing care in multiple ways. So we are networking and partnershiping with them as well, and excited that Greg is also a part of that as chair. It's just amazing.
And what's the event again? Let's plug it here. It's coming.
It's our open house on February 25th.
So people can come and see what this is all about, participate or give or donate.
Give the website.
It's at 1515 West Collins in Orange. It's right near Anaheim Stadium.
And it's 3:30.
So excited, so excited to be. Let me ask you something. Frank Shankwitz, he's the founder and creator of Make-A-Wish Foundation, and who maybe next time we can have him on the show. He was telling me, and maybe you can validate this, where it costs $50,000 to train a dog for military or something like that. Is it?
Yes, for the military, correct.
Yeah,
yes.
So people need to be, you know, I encourage people to look into these things because we need support for our military, whether they're discharged or whether they're still active in active duty. I mean, we need to share with the world these
services. I'll tell you what I've learned just sitting here in this chair. I feel like I get a PhD in life.
Yes.
I have all these people come in every week and talk.
So cool.
I didn't realize that the military, I thought somehow our military was taken better care of once they leave the military.
No.
I thought with all we're asking them to do, multiple tours, 10-year wars, all this stuff we didn't anticipate.
And they get nothing.
And when they come out, so many of them end up broke or they've got post-traumatic stress or something else. And we basically kind of say thank you and see ya. Yeah. And I'm shocked. Rod's had some groups in here. We've had other shows come in here and they're like, no, you don't realize. They sort of just cut them loose. Is that... why?
Uniquely now, or has it just been something that has been more or less the case?
I think it's more uniquely now that the fact that the services got so big and that we had these long wars in Afghanistan and Iraq.
Right.
During the Cold War, we didn't have these problems because... there was not a post-traumatic stress disorder because we never saw
have the results of combat.
Right? 13 years, 14 years, 15 years in Afghanistan, a lot of these guys are coming back pretty messed up.
Traumatized.
And I've had three combat tours and dropping bombs and everything else. And it is traumatizing. Mm-hmm. And you need some support groups when you come back. In fact, I sit in these support groups at the VA hospital at Long Beach and to these veterans. And this one guy is talking about he's on his third wife, and that just blew up in his face. I go, you ever thought about a dog? I swear to God, we got him a dog, and he's just so happy.
It's awesome.
You know, unconditional love, and it's right there for him all the time. So that's kind of when Penny Lambright got this idea of Patriots and Paws to match. We actually get rescue dogs.
Mm-hmm. Love it.
So they don't get...
It's a win-win.
It's a win-win. They get trained, and then we match them with people. So
I can't wait.
And just the other day... we can't say the company, but they said, we want to give you a check. And usually we go there, they get a $1,000 check. Mm-hmm. And pretty soon we can say the name of this company. And they said, come on over. So Penny went over, and she calls me. She goes, are you sitting down? And we got a $55,000 check.
Wow. Congratulations.
Wow. That's awesome.
That's amazing.
Yeah, so we're
You're
so excited.
You're doing so much
Very well deserved.
In this community.
You know, it's...
And what do you do? You actually just match... the object is what? You're going
to
give them...
Well, we have the furniture where you can pick up any furniture you want.
Right.
And we'll deliver it to your house. So 3 days a week they come pick up, and 3 days we pick up.
And then how do the paws come into it?
And,
how do the dogs?
And the paws is we work with another organization that provides service dogs for...
Love it.
Companion dogs.
Yep.
Not service dogs, companion
right,
dogs.
Right, companion dogs.
Yeah.
You know, and the idea is that if they can learn... Because so many of these vets are homeless. They're on the street. They don't take... They need somebody, what, to learn to take
right,
care of themselves
right.
and mm-hmm. start to develop relationships and whatnot because they're isolated. They're alone.
Mm-hmm.
They've left the support network of the military, and they're kind of on their own and floundering.
Yeah, I sit on Assemblyman Bill Bro's Veterans Advisory Council mm-hmm. committee, and he's Assemblyman down in Southwest
yeah,
County. He's a great guy,
yeah.
Army veteran. He worked for the Reagan White House. And now I'm flattered to be nominated by Lisa Bartlett to be on the Orange County.
It's phenomenal.
Right now it's kind of being held up with some political reasons.
The one thing that's changed in my lifetime is, of course, I'm a product of the Vietnam era, and I did not go. I was one of your buddies sitting there going, what the heck are you thinking? Why would anybody want to go into this thing here?
You're in my movie, by the way.
God, I like
you idiot. You're going to go to Vietnam.
And when they came back, I have to say all of us were embarrassed to see how they were treated.
Right.
They were spit upon. They were and just the other shell shock was they said when my dad said when he came back from World War II, it took months to mm-hmm. get here. You had some time to decompress and think about getting back in life. When they left Vietnam, one day they're in the jungle or flying or
boom,
whatever.
They're back.
Next day they're 24 hours later they're dropped on the street somewhere.
Here. It's awful.
Yeah. When I came back from Desert Storm, it was that way.
I mean,
one day you're in the desert and the sand and dirt and dust and death and destruction,
mm-hmm.
and then the next day you're in beautiful Mission Viejo.
Picking up the paper off your
driver. Yeah, I landed at El Toro
in
my fighter, and my family's there. We're driving home, and I'm like, "Honey, look at the grass.
Yeah,
there's and grass.
Look at the flowers." She's like, "Okay."
And it's been what 25 years, right?
Since Desert Storm, 25 years.
Can you believe that?
Yeah. No.
He still remembers it.
And no.
And so why don't we do a better job of preparing these people? I would think the vet is smart these days, and veterans are highly prized. This isn't after the Vietnam era. They seem to have a lot of sympathy in society, and we seem to want to put money towards this. Why haven't we figured out a better way to integrate them out of the service and into society?
I think they were caught... Shorthanded with these two major wars.
I think that's it. When they talk about the
VA couldn't handle all the patients coming in.
Yeah.
And the VA, God bless them, they try hard, but it's a bureaucracy. It's a government program,
right.
And those things just don't work.
Not quickly.
No. Yeah. We do have the GI Bill, which is really good to get them to college. But it's...
I was shocked. One guy that came in, I've forgotten his name now here, on this veterans group. You had a couple
yes,
people.
Yes, I'm trying...
While you're thinking of it. Anyway, he was saying that they come back, and a lot of these guys are now... They have no money because they didn't save anything. They're in the military. And they have job skills, but it's hard to translate those into, you know, I was a missile technician, and what am I going to do here? And then the third thing is they're behind the curve because they're competing with people who've been in college or been doing this for 10 years. And I come out and say, well, I'm over here. I'm sort of delayed. I'm looking for my first job. But, gee, I was in charge of a missile battery or something. And you'd think that everybody would say, oh, that sounds great. And they go, yeah, but have you sold anything lately? Or, you know, what have you done?
What we're trying to do here within the healthcare industry is educate our caregivers to with more training on wellness and self-care. And Tani can tell you about that. She's a phenomenal speaker in that arena in health and wellness and life coaching. We're also empowering our caregivers to be trained with service dogs as well. And that is a part of our collaboration with Patriots and PAWS, and it's in the projected future. So So we're thinking of solutions.
Yeah, I mean, animals, we don't really, I mean, listen, I've never served in the military. I come from a military dad, but if an animal, if a doggy can bring me so much joy, like my love, really, the love of my life, sorry to my boyfriend, but the love of my life,
oh, wow,
really is Winston, my little French bulldog, and Vitas.
Yeah, she does.
And Vitas has a French bulldog, kind of a mascot. His name's Sterling. And this animal, this little dog, brings so much joy to the people who are ailing, you know, into their families. Mm-hmm. And I can't wait to really witness. I just started with Vitas as their events director. And
what is Vitas? I don't even know.
Oh, Vitas is healthcare. So it's palliative care, it's hospice care. And I really want to help destigmatize what hospice care is. Everybody mm-hmm. always equates it with death and morphine. That's not the case. We had my dad on hospice for more than 10 months, and it wasn't mm-hmm. only until like the last few hours did the nurse administer morphine.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So there's so many other services that we can do, bring to the vets, bring to our community, everything from, you know, the memory bears to remembering your loved ones. They create teddy bears mm-hmm. after they've passed. But the dog thing, I am telling you, wrap your heart around that mm-hmm. because I am witnessing how much joy. If my mom didn't have little Winston during the time of my dad's transition, and even today, I don't know where she'd be. They bring a lot of joy.
Yeah, we have a golden retriever. His name's Ronald Reagan, by the
way. I love it.
We call him Reagan, and he sleeps by the door of our bedroom to protecting us. And the other night, I wasn't feeling good, so he knew I was sick in the bathroom. And I lay back in bed. He comes and lays right next to me because he knew I was
feeling
good.
Yeah.
My mother years ago ran an animal shelter, of all crazy things, back in suburbia. My dad was horrified. He's a corporate executive. His wife's running an animal shelter. But she got involved in this, and the city back there built one, and she ended up running it. And they used to take animals to this, and I know it's done a lot now, but they were one of the pioneers. They take them to nursing homes.
Yes.
And just to bring an animal
to
somebody.
And that's what they do at VTOC.
Just
to
see somebody's face that hasn't touched an animal in a while.
They do it with kids.
Yep.
They do it with terminal cancer patients.
Yeah.
I mean, it's
they bring joy.
The funny thing is, it's not an unknown thing, and yet, and we've talked about this on the show before, right? You get older, and it's almost like sort of a disposable society component. Like you have nothing to contribute. Mm-hmm. You don't have so even the stuff that we know and we do to kids, we don't sometimes extend to elderly.
And then we had somebody in from the Shea Center several times. Look that up online. They do this amazing work with horses and
equine therapy.
Yeah. And they take kids that are blind, or they take kids that are autistic, and they put them on a horse. And they say, we can't really understand why, but there's a connection. The horse sort of understands them. And they understand. And they react in a whole different way. These autistic kids
really do.
Open up.
They're taking them to the senior community centers as well.
Aren't you coming to our city, Mission Vieja?
I am.
I'm
so excited. So it's going to be March 3rd is going to be the first event. Vitas is involved with that as well. But it's all about self-care strategies to prevent depression and overwhelm. You know, I want to encourage your listeners and your community that caregivers need to learn how to manage stress. Mm-hmm. They need to learn how to stay on this side of the grass, because if you don't put yourself first in moments of caregiving, I know from my own personal experience, if I didn't practice my self-care, I would have joined my dad, if not probably gone before him.
Yeah.
So we are
because that's
out.
Your kind of your story, as you told it before. Obviously, you went through this trauma. Your sister is killed in this brutal fashion by a celebrity, and it becomes the talk of the world.
Yeah, and a miniseries right now.
And what did that do to the family, and how it ripped everybody apart to be thrown it, to have this trauma played out in the national scene could not have been easy, and it led to some very serious issues in your life.
Very serious. I attempted a suicide 11 years ago, and so I just don't come with a graduate degree hanging on a wall. In fact, it's in a box in my garage somewhere.
Right.
I come from the direction of life and real life, because you know what? There are a lot of hurting people out there, and if I can be that voice to say, hey, listen, life's hard, just let pride at the front door, knock on that door, and reach out and get help. You don't have to go through life alone.
And it's okay to ask for it.
It's okay.
But that seems to be the theme of getting older. At some point, you get out of the military, you get out of divorce,
you
get
like
out of something,
no purpose.
And you suddenly become alone.
Yeah.
And it's that loneliness. You're stuck in a nursing home. Your kids have moved away. You've gotten divorced. Somebody's died, whatever.
You need a sense of purpose. And that VITAS has that. Your organizations have that where, you know, we're having a volunteer awareness day where the volunteer coordinator, if anybody wants to get involved with, you know, with dogs or quilts or memory bears or music therapy, if you're a musician and want to get involved in, you know, visiting the nursing homes.
Right.
Let's really take time and let people know that they still matter.
Still a community.
Well, we still care about each other.
And it's
harder these days, not only because of when you're dealing with elderly, right, but even for youth.
Yeah.
The way to connect has become very virtual.
Yeah.
And that only goes so far, because there, at some points you got to do that in person. You got to get that person out of that
house.
We
need hugs.
You do.
Right.
Yeah, you can hug virtually.
Yeah.
It's a good one.
Yeah.
But go up and try and hug a kid on the street someday and they'll arrest you. You know, we've created a world where we're taught to build up barriers, stay away from everybody.
This didn't happen overnight, but the point is it's sad because we have lost something in this where we need it the most. I mean, to Tanya's point, there's a lot of people walking out there that there's a lot of hurt, there's a lot of baggage that they're carrying.
A lot of loneliness.
And stress.
And in some cases, not even the clarity or the awareness that it's okay to seek the help. I mean, we can say, you know, all these organizations are out there and all these things, but it's also very personal. I mean, I remember volunteering with Rebuilding Together Orange County, and we were at Mary's Kitchen in Santa Ana, and we were redoing their double wide trailer because they were operating out of a small thing with some shanty showers and stuff like that. And it's homeless people.
Yeah.
And for me, I've got a cell phone in my hand and it's got a camera in it. And it didn't even occur to me that I shouldn't be pointing that at other people, because their pride is that they don't want to have their picture taken when they're in that kind of condition where they're feeling so vulnerable. And yet, there's so many people out there in all communities, you know, even down south where we are, you know, that there needs to be sort of a dignity way of dealing with this, and also encouraging people to seek that help. The
help
being out there behind doors doesn't help.
Who you are makes a difference.
We got to find a dignified way to end this here.
What was
the theme today? I missed the theme on today's show.
Being of service. And thank you for your service.
Thank you so much for your service.
Thank you.
It's an honor to meet you.
All right. So let's go around the table. Greg, how do they find the book and get a copy if they want to get it before that's sold out at the movies here?
You can go to the website, the number 9, livesofafighterpilot.com, and order it online.
Okay.
It's 1995.
And Tanya, how do they get your book here?
They can visit my website at tanyabrown.net. It's T-A-N-Y-A. And I have hard copies of my personal memoir, and I'll write out a huge hugs for you.
There you go. And if they want to learn about caregivers, how do they learn about caregivers? And the stuff we're doing here.
At caregiversdirect.com, and we also cover both L.A. and Orange County.
And Rod, how do they reach you?
Oh, they can just pick up the phone, call myself.
You're everywhere.
949-212-8299. I can't believe I just gave up myself. And the email is Rod, R-A-A-D, period, Gantus, G-H-A-N-T-O-U-S, @gmail.com. These shows are amazing. We find out we really get the chance to sit down and talk to people, right?
Yeah,
that's a rarity in itself.
Thank you so much. That's for the gift of that, Greg. And again, thank you for your service.
Absolutely.
And
thanks to OC Talk Radio for having this format where we can do this.
I was getting to you, Paul.
Okay.
God,
it's all about me.
I really appreciate you,
Greg, taking the time. People say, "How do you get people here?" Well, you know what? I ask them, and you know they do. You say yes, and you are an honorable man, and we're happy to have you.
We appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. Do check out those websites that were given. Great work being done by great people.
All right. Till next time.
You have been listening to the Rad Life Radio Show with your host and age explorer, Rad Gontos, brought to you on the one and only OCTalkRadio.net. Join us again next week as we continue our journey of discovery into life's challenges, opportunities, options, and all the latest and greatest things that come with getting older.